almost lost the truck that had been following her for a while, hiding in a little wooded area. The truck went around and around. It would come back the other way, and then another truck would come. The house kept hidden, kept low. Kept low as the trucks drive around, searching for her. She stayed still for so long that somebody's cat came along and started rubbing against her leg and mewing softly for attention and affection. Those guys in trucks, they had what appeared to be human body parts hanging from the back window like grisly decorations. Well, not exactly human, but munchkin anyway, which to Alice is the same thing, only shorter. Same truck again. Same munchkin body parts bobbing back and forth inside of it. So again, she plunges into the cornfield. Headlong into the cornfield. Safe in the corn. Having seen that sign that says, "Beware and walk between the rows." Hopefully, it's somebody's idea of a joke. Cornfields are filled with cawing black crows, big ones standing 2 feet high and fat and robust looking, strong, harsh, foul croaking sounds. And fairly aggressive. They didn't give her much of a distance as she walked through the rows. They merely backed up a few inches and sometimes pecked at her if she got too close to one. Still, trucks and cars looking for her. She almost accepted a ride until she saw the munchkin parts on the back of the window display. She bolted and ran, and they gave chase. They have not given up yet. Obviously, she knows what their intentions are. But she travels through this cornfield, and she comes to a rest. She has 2 appleseed cakes left in her smock pocket, and she pulls one out and nibbles at it.
"Good day to you,"
says a dumb, somewhat even ignorant voice. She looks around. The only thing there is a ugly, fucked up looking scarecrow up on the crucified, like Jesus Christ style, wooden posts. As an experienced stripper, she's learned to ignore voices that she can't identify. So she goes about nibbling her cake some more.
That looks like a good cake. My mouth wasn't painted on. I'd ask you for a bite. Says the voice again.
This time she sees the scarecrow's head is moving in motion with the speaking. You can talk, but you're a scarecrow. So at this point, the scarecrow goes into a long sob story that we will lean over a few details of, but skip the long narrative of. Seems a lot of sexual abuse. Morbid fear of flame. After watching most of his family burn in the scarecrow factory mishap. The fact that he has no brain is a rather complete moron, in fact. This is his biggest grievance. His biggest railing against the world. But he's pissed off about a lot of shit. Alice hasn't been here very long, for example, but you don't think that his constant angry rants about the fucking degenerate munchkins and their destroying of the true values of the Midwest are warranted at all. In fact, he seems like kind of a racist to her. Same truck again. As you can hear, not see the truck of the bobbing parts go by on the road, still searching for her. It's been fucking 45 minutes now that she's been out of sight, and still they're fucking driving around looking for her. Anyway, the scarecrow's story is that he would have brains, and secondly important to him, a penis. And, like, feeling, since he has no nerve endings and constantly complains he can't feel anything. He thinks he should have some money, too, but the problem is that he's taxed too much. The only thing he has to give is straw. The liberals come, they take his straw, and it goes to lazy people who don't even scare off crows for a living, although he seems to have failed completely at this, explaining away that he's too dumb to successfully scare very many crows. But they form a fast friendship because they're going in the same direction. Prosperos. She tries to explain to the scarecrow that since he's a being made out of straw, the yellow madness probably will not affect him. Especially because he has no brain, so how could he go insane without a brain to go insane with? But he is steadfast and stubborn about his rights, his constitutional rights, as he. So they strike along the path. Scarecrow immediately arms himself with a sharpened stick he found. A strange quartet is beginning. And these friends are complete political opposites and constantly bickering back and forth and trying to convince the unconvincible other side that either the left or the right is the right way to go. Alice has the good fortune of being infinitely more intelligent and able to slam anything that scarecrow comes up with, any slogans and ignorant comments he makes, right back in his face. They call this flipping the script, a technique that was masterminded by a technique created by Letterman Studd to verbally kill people